It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Link is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Link Show on News Talk WSB. Our number 404, oh gosh, the caffeine has definitely not kicked in. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, website thinkglink.com. Click on the red house if you want to learn how to buy a vacation home, which is what we're going to talk about today. Online, Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Happy to take your calls about mortgage interest rates, which ticked up again this week. All kinds of interesting things. I think I want to start with this whole vacation home thing. Truly released a really interesting survey this week talking about the top vacation home spots in America and where they're located. And I went back there and I said to Daisy, who runs some stuff with public relations, I said, I really want to know not only where America's top vacation home zip codes are, but where do Atlantans search for vacation homes? Because I thought it would be really interesting for you to hear about what are the top 10 zip codes where Atlantans search for vacation homes. Now, I think this whole concept of how truly I can figure out where you're searching for a vacation home and where you live is a little bit disconcerting and a little 1984, of course. That sounds so last century, so 2024, we'll just make up our own timeline. But it is interesting to think about the idea of vacation homes. And so before we delve into where the top vacation homes are this Memorial Day weekend, so happy Memorial Day, kicking off the summer vacation weather, should that ever turn up, I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about what's going on with sort of the regular home market and the vacation home market, because we have seen and continue to see this resurgence in the single-family home market and to a lesser extent in some markets, the condo market. But existing home sales are there. They're not at the pace that they were at in 2004 and 2005. There's simply not enough on the market. And it's really hard still for a lot of people to get a home loan. But it's easing up. It's getting easier to get a jumbo loan, for example. It's still hard if you want to get over $1 million for a house. But, you know, the market is improving. In fact, I had a conversation this week with somebody who said that she's been looking around for or two or three bedroom house, single family house or condo in Chicago, priced somewhere around $600,000 to $850,000. And she said there's a lot of stuff over $1 million, $1.2 million, and tons over $2 million. Okay. But she said $600,000-$700,000 stuff's getting snapped up. And I said, well, that's because at today's mortgage interest rates, to buy a $600,000 home, you only really need about $150,000 in income, which is like $275,000 a year salaries, which is about two middle managers at big companies. That allows you to buy a $600,000 a year, $600,000 property. And that used to be so far out of reach. And it's not, because mortgage interest rates at the level that they're at, which is 3.5% for a 30-year loan, are allowing you to buy basically four times income. And so if you earn $150,000 a year, you're able to buy a house for $600,000-$700,000, depending on how much you have to put down. Simple math. But but that escapes so many people who are out there thinking $600,000-$700,000 is a serious amount of money. It is. I'm not saying it's not. But it's not what it used to be. That level of exclusivity for jumbo homes is not what it used to be, and prices are getting bid up again very quickly in some areas. Some people, I can't even imagine this, some people think that we might actually have 10% price appreciation this year. It's bubble-like. That's all I can say about that. It's bubble-like. It does not reflect the reality of our economy. It doesn't reflect the reality of what people are earning. All it reflects is a math algorithm based on mortgage interest rates, which are artificially being held low by the Fed for like the fourth year in a row or fifth year in a row to stimulate the economy. And what it's doing is stimulating interesting parts of the economy. But anyway, I digress. So you're seeing for single family homes this kind of jump in. There's not that much to buy. Let's go buy it and see what's going on. Good. But you're not seeing the same level of price appreciation in vacation home markets. You're just not seeing it. So when you think about, is it the right time to buy vacation homes? You go back into the vacation home mythology of who it is who should be buying vacation homes and who is actually buying vacation homes. And it may surprise you to learn that the number one age group for people buying vacation homes are people aged 55 to 65, which is smack in the middle of, yes, baby boomers. The second most popular time to buy a home, a vacation home, is 45 to 55, and then 65 to 75. So where are people buying these vacation homes? And, you know, let me give out the phone number again if you want to talk about the vacation home you're thinking about buying or are buying, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. But I will tell you that the top two places where people are buying vacation homes, according to Trulia, is Ocean City in Cape May, New Jersey, and North Wildwood in Cape May, New Jersey. And the price differentiation is wild between the two. So Ocean City has a median price of $525,000. North Wildwood, which is also in Cape May, New Jersey, $289,000. It's a $250,000 point spread in the median price of homes in these two places, both of which were severely hit by Hurricane Sandy. And so people are desperate to buy something, or they're going back in and rebuilding and then selling. If they have a home, they're selling, and the prices have jumped. And those are the top vacation home zip codes. After that, you get to Kissimmee in Osceola, Florida. Kissimmee. $298,000. Ocean City, Worcester, I don't even know how you pronounce it, Maryland. Sorry about that. If you're from there, deeply apologize. $275,000. Marco Island, $499,000. Big Bear Lake in San Bernardino, California, followed right on the heels by Lake Arrowhead, also in San Bernardino. So in Big Bear Lake, in California, $335,000. Lake Arrowhead, which is number seven on the list, $399,000. Then you've got Panama City Beach in Bay, Florida, almost $300,000. Followed by Gatlinburg, number nine, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, $179,000, which I think, as I look at this, is the least expensive market on the top 20 list. Least expensive market. What's the most expensive market? Nantucket, which I thought was so interesting. It's even more expensive than East Hampton. Billy Joel was profiled in the New York Times today about living full-time in the Hamptons. I guess that's for the New York Times. That's the whole vacation thing. Nantucket, Massachusetts, $1.8 million. That's the median home price. Destin, Florida, $475,000. That's number 19, which I think is so interesting given what happened in Destin. So you go down this list of America's top 20 vacation home sites, and the vast majority of them are lakefront, oceanfront, view, right? And that's really what we want. Vacation homes. Vacation homes. Crystal Wheeler just told me that the A is short. It's Gatlinburg. I'm going to just defer to her. The vacation home drive is all about recreation. And according to some top realtors that I spoke with this week, the drive for vacation homes is still a lot less than for existing single-family homes in sort of the major metropolitan areas. People are not jumping on the second family home, the vacation home bandwagon just yet. And that means there's opportunities out there for you, right? Because if there isn't demand, if there isn't huge demand, you're going to be able to jump on that bandwagon for less money. Now, it won't surprise you to learn that Atlantans are searching for vacation homes in Florida and Georgia and Fort Morgan, Alabama. Probably won't surprise you. Kentucky, much to Crystal's chagrin, does not make the list. I will. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the specific places and the prices. But it is so important that you buy right. Whether you're going to live in the second home, use it as a vacation home, rent it out, you need to know everything there is about buying investment property. Because really, a second home falls much more into the investment property place, especially when you're spending $800,000 or $300,000 or $200,000. It moves into a different spot. You have to think about it in a little bit of a different way. And I'm going to talk to you about that when we get back. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Lines are wide open. Happy to take your calls. Money and real estate. It's a holiday weekend. Happy to help out there. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Don't forget to go to my website. Sign up for my free weekly newsletter. Learn about investing in real estate with our Intentional Investor webinar series. Just click on the red house. It'll tell you everything you need to know. We'll talk about it in a little more coming back. I'm Elise Klink. This is News Talk WSB. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So is now the best time to sell your house?
Well, now is the best time to sell your house. Typically, you know, I think the better question for people is, when is the best time to sell your house? You know,
right.
People always call us and they say, well, you know, I know that it's almost past summer. I don't know how people would do that. Or, you know, I know spring's the best. The truth is, if anybody really wants to know, November and December and January are the best time to sell a house because the inventory becomes so low. All your competitors of people who are marketing their home come off the market. So any buyer who's in the marketplace has a lack of inventory, so they put more eyes on your home.
But this is the end of May, beginning of June. I mean, we're just, you know, it's sort of the end of the spring market. Nobody wants to wait till the fall.
Well, here's the thing. You know, as I said, the very best time to sell your house from a competitive standpoint is the end of the year. However, with the inventory levels being so low, now is the best time to sell your house. The inventory levels are what create the best environment time to sell your house. Does that make sense?
It does.
So you're only going to have one buyer, and you've got to put yourself on the market when others are not necessarily on it. But even if you put it on right now and 10 of your localized neighbors in your same zip code came on, it wouldn't be a big deal. We have more buyers than we have sellers. Sellers, put your house on the market.
So this is really interesting because summer was always a really slow time to sell. Maybe not as slow as Christmas, but traditionally, historically, like 10 years ago, this was a slower time. So maybe there is a little bit more of a competitive advantage?
There's,
or you think it doesn't even matter now?
It doesn't even matter.
Okay.
That's the funny thing. The inventory levels versus the buyers who are looking have made it all out of whack. The school schedules of summer, you know, they end early and start early. That's all made it all out of whack. Just if you have a desire to put your house on the market, put your house on the market. That's the message.
All right. Sounds good. You've got more on your website, I assume.
Sure. RhondaDuffy.com.
All right. Check it out. Thanks for joining us, Rhonda. We'll talk to you again next week. Stay tuned for more of the Elise Klink Show next on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Klink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show. Live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. We've been talking about vacation homes and what you have to do to think about making that kind of an investment. And so, as many of you know, I have put together what I consider to be an amazing resource in my Intentional Investor webinar series. It's 2.5 hours, and I know that sounds like a lot. It sounds like maybe it's too much to even sit in front and watch and absorb. But it's 2.5 hours of webinars that walk you through the different stages of investing and give you an understanding of what you need to know to make a smart move, because there's just so much to know. What it takes to be a real estate investor, how to identify and understand unique investment opportunities, how to build a real estate team that will fight for you every step of the way, how to develop the investment strategy that's going to make money for you. And most importantly, and we talk about this all the time in the show, how to avoid making common mistakes that investors make every single day of the week. Because if you can avoid those mistakes, you will actually be able to make more money. So intentional investor, the word intentional is because I think that if you don't do these things with intention, like if you just go out and buy the first home you see, vacation home, single family residence, you're going to make a mistake. There's no question in my mind. I have talked to enough people over the course of my career and done enough investing myself and made enough mistakes for everybody that if you don't think about it, if you don't have intention, it's going to be a problem. So I always want you to operate with intention from a place of knowledge and power. Because I believe that if you have knowledge, you have power. And you can use that power to make the smart move. And that's all it is. I guess it's not that complicated. But in any case, 2.5 hours later, 9 webinars later, and we have 9 e-books coming. This is what we've got for you. So on the website right now is an introductory offer for these 9 webinars. In another 2 weeks, we're going to be introducing 9 e-books to go along with them. You can buy now. You can buy later. The price is just going to go up. So go to the website, thinkglink.com. If you are thinking about investing in real estate, invest in yourself first. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to the phone. Stuart joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Elise. Nice to meet you. I used to own, just recently sold a property out in South Carolina, Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great place. And then my suggestions for people is if they find themselves going and wanting to go back and forth to their destination and keep themselves abreast of the changes of that destination, if they find themselves always going back to that location, they love that place, then that's the reason to buy, you know, a vacation home. Keep going back to the same place, and they meet people, they meet restaurant owners and things like that.
Why did you decide to sell your property?
Good question. Different time of life. My daughter just graduated college with a bachelor's degree, and she's enrolled now at a master's degree all the way up in New York.
Okay.
So we needed to address the expense of the college, and it's going to be an expensive venture, but, you know, of course she deserves it. We'll do it. But we found ourselves, I took a job as a loan officer several years ago, and it's a little bit more structured on the time of off that we get, or I get, from that job. So I can't go back to that vacation place, Elise, as much as I used to go when I had a regular loan officer position.
So what's interesting about that is you hit a couple of the big things that vacation homeowners often think about. One is, how far is Hilton Head driving time from where you live?
Elise, it's about 4.5 hours. It's an easy drive. It's
right.
Great. And the island, I sound like I'm doing a little selling of Hilton Head, but it's a great island. It really is.
It is a great place. I've been there a couple of different times. I really like it as well. Most vacation homeowners will buy property that is around 150 to 200 miles.
Uh-huh.
From their primary residence. And so it sounds for you like this is maybe just slightly above that, but you're not going to fly there. You're going to drive there because you're going to want to have your car when you're there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
we owned in a condo complex, so it was a quasi-investment property because we did have it on the property market to rent out by the week during the regular high season, and then we used it the rest of the time, 1 week in the summer, and the rest of the time we get gone weeks at a time when the job allowed me to take more time off.
So when you rented it out, how much money did you make on it?
You know, that's a good question. $10,000 to $12,000 was the average, but then again, the expense of the property, mortgage payment, homeowners association fee, the small electric fee, you know, was outweighing, you know, and mm-hmm. we took that and we said, oh, gee, in the last 2 years, what was the shortfall of the of what we needed to pay out of pocket? And it was approaching $1,500 to $2,000 a month. And I'm saying, you know, I'm 58 years old. I wanted to, you know, retire maybe in 7-8 years and buy the, you know, retirement property. And then my daughter going to college will have to dedicate that towards, you know, towards the her education and getting rid of my mortgage on my property currently that I live in.
So you really just made an investment decision. You're taking it out of the investment property, which you've used for a while, and you're investing in your daughter. And I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. And that's exactly what we're trying to do anyway, yes.
All right. So what is it that I can do to help?
I just wanted to go ahead and tell folks, just to understand the real costs of buying. You got the greatest time right now. Interest rates are low. The availability of vacation properties are still, you know, there's a good availability. So go get the property that you really want. I'm a proponent for second home purchases. You hit the age group right on because I'm 58. You can't help me. I was just trying to go ahead and give people some suggestions.
Well, I think you've helped everybody else, so that's fair. And I'm glad you joined the show today. Thanks for calling, Stuart.
It was real nice to meet you. Thank you.
It is 43 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are talking about vacation homes. Frances joins us on the line from San Antonio. Hi, Frances.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on in your world today?
Oh, too many things, but...
Well, pick one or two, share them,
yeah,
and then let's talk about it.
My question is, back in early February, I sent my mortgage, my full balance on my house.
You paid off your mortgage?
Yes, I paid off my mortgage.
How did that make you feel?
It feels great, but I just haven't received anything from them. And it's already, what, like 4 months, 5 months later?
Uh-huh.
I know that when we got the papers that we needed to complete to send the last payment, it said that within 90 to 100 days, they usually will get the note from, you know, paid in full to us and all the paperwork, you know, to me. Well, that was February. We're in the end of May, and I have not received anything. When you call this company, all you get is automated telephones. So you don't talk to a soul. You just talk to computers.
Well, it's only been roughly, I mean, depending on when you closed in February, it's only roughly 90 days now. If you closed at the end of February, the end of May is only 90 days.
Well, actually, I don't know when they close it, but I send it in the first week of February.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's when the official close date was. But, you know, I would say that you're running it a little bit close. Now, I also think that it's great that you're counting the days that you want to actually get your piece of paper.
Yes, I wanted to make sure that I get it.
Yeah, I think it's good that you get it, but there are other things that are actually even more important than you getting this release from them.
Uh-huh.
One thing that's actually more important is that you go to your local recorder of deeds office and make sure that they've released the mortgage from your property.
Okay.
That's much more important because it really doesn't matter if you have that piece of paper or not. I mean, it's helpful, but it is more important that when you go to sell your property, there is no lien against your property.
Right.
So you should go and over to the recorder of deeds office and check it out there as well.
Oh, okay.
And then
I didn't know that. This is my first time. So when I saw this article in the paper last Sunday, I said, oh, I'm going to save it. I'm going to call and ask a question.
Well, I'm glad you did it. So I assume you're talking about our nationally syndicated column,
yes,
Real Estate Matters. And we did just have this question. people, somebody wrote in and they wanted to know what they were supposed to get. And some lenders don't actually send you that release of mortgage.
Yes, well.
I mean, it's great that yours says that they do. Now, the real thing is, it sounds like you're dealing with a servicing company. Who's the company?
Midland Mortgage.
And it sounds like they service it for whoever your end lender is.
Mm-hmm.
So really what ends up happening is you send them the payment, then they have to turn around and make the payment, then they have to get the paperwork from the end lender. That has to come back to them. They have to sign everything off and file with all of the different places that they have to file, and then they get around to sending it to you. So my suggestion is, Francis, that if you don't get a letter or your note or something, the canceled release of mortgage, if you don't get that by mid to end of June, you should call and make a note of it, because you're going to, and then start to really pester them. And there are lots of different ways that you can pester them, but I think you got to give them a little more time. For sure, you got to give them the 100 days they said it could take in order to get the release of your mortgage. Thanks so much for your call. 404-872-0750 is our number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB. Baby. 55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you have been waiting for an opportunity to call the show, this is your week. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we've got a bunch of lines open. So happy to take your questions that you've been waiting. I know sometimes it's really hard to get through and the lines are jammed, and usually that's the case in the second hour of the show anyway, even on a holiday weekend. But right now there are a couple of lines open. So 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and I'll be happy to talk to you. Let's go back to the phones. Bob joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Bob. Bob?
Caller Francis, I believe, was the name, and she's not alone out there trying to find out whoever may be the holder of her mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
With the meltdown of the residential lending business and the assignment and reassignment of mortgages, it's been very difficult to find out who actually holds it to get it satisfied.
Well, she had. It sounds to me like she had paperwork from the lender, and she knew who the servicer was. But she's also calling from San Antonio, Texas. My syndicated column runs in 85 newspapers around the country. And she, at the bottom of every one of the columns, and I think it runs in the Marietta paper, locally in Atlanta, not the AJC, which sounds crazy given that we're owned by the same company as the AJC, but such is life in the world of syndication. But anyway, she called in from San Antonio, which was great.
Well, if she has Georgia real estate and the mortgage is on Georgia real estate, and she's trying to get satisfied, there's a provision in the Georgia code that obligates a lender to satisfy its mortgage within 60 days after payoff, at the risk of, I want to recall, treble damages to the homeowner. Now, that's all well and good. That's what the law says. But I think, in fact, that provision has seen very, very little enforcement activity, probably for a whole host of reasons, one of which is going to cost the homeowner some money to enforce it. But she does have some recourse out there if she gets slow walked by the lender.
Which is great. And I assume that the one way for her to tell, because for her this is all about sleeping well at night, knowing it's all done, going to the recorder of deeds and making sure that it has actually been released, the lien has been released, is pretty important. It's more important than the actual paperwork itself. Wouldn't you agree?
You're absolutely right about that. The piece of paper may be nice to frame and put up in your living room wall or something, but the only real test is what's recorded in the deed records.
Right, exactly. But I love knowing that Georgia has this 60-day payoff thing. I'm not sure I actually knew that it was a required 60 days, but to your point, so many things have slipped over the last 5 to 7 years that I would be amazed if that's truly the case. And, of course, would love to hear from some real estate lawyers locally who I know listen to the show from time to time, if they are seeing that 60 days enforced in any way, shape, or form, or they have any other advice for callers like Francis. Bob, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate the knowledge. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Good time to call, guys. There's some people on waiting, but we also have a couple of lines open. So 404-872-0750. We're going to get all of your questions answered today on the Elise Kling Show here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Kling Show. It is 12:07. So glad you've joined us this afternoon. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy Memorial Day. I don't know how you're celebrating. We're having a big barbecue tomorrow. We're going to my sister's this afternoon and seeing some friends. It's just been a really nice low-key gathering weekend, and I hope you're doing the same thing. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation, at least normally in a show. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. That's my Twitter handle. Go to my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Take a look at our new nine-part webinar series, The Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. One house at a time, one life at a time, rebuilding America. That's what we're doing on this show, week in and week out. All right. I want to talk a little bit more about vacation homes, but let's take some calls, 404-872-0750 first, and then we'll get back to vacation homes. Carl joins us on the line. Hey, Carl.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for calling the show. What's going on today?
Well, I'm looking at buying a house, and I'm pretty sure about it, and I was working with my bank, and I'm encountering some bait and switch. They told me I could qualify for a 15-year mortgage and a 20-year mortgage, and now they're coming back and saying, well, just kidding, and you can qualify for the 20-year mortgage, but you have to put down a little bit more and so on and so forth. And so I worked with a website, and I've gotten some competition involved, and it looks like that's the way to go. It looks like that'll save me, roughly $1,000 in closing fees.
All right, so let's just talk about this for a minute. You decided to shop around, which is something I talk about all the time on the show, and now you're going to save $1,000. How much effort did you put into the shopping around part?
Oh, a couple hours, I guess.
So your time is worth $500 an hour on this deal?
Roughly.
Not a bad return. I mean, it's not basketball player salary, but not bad.
Yeah, well, I don't have a great jump shot or anything, but...
me either.
I already had the work done. I already had the files all electronic and ready to go and all the different information that my bank had tortured me with. And so, I'm a bit down the road there, and I'm not really all that concerned. I'm in an odd situation. I don't have to do this. It actually, I don't pay any rent, so I actually profit from not doing it.
Uh-huh.
So
you don't pay rent, why are you buying something?
Well, it's a family situation. So,
okay.
It's something I want to do, and it'll be a good move over the long term, but, the point is that I'm not held hostage by them over this. If it doesn't happen now, I don't care. But
okay.
I think that the rates will probably go up, in the next 6-18 months or something like that. So now's as good a time to do it as any. And I will qualify, but it's going to pretty much wipe out my savings. And I own a small business, and I'm self-employed. So one question I have is, when I begin to reaccumulate cash and reinvest in the stock market, should I be looking at building in my IRA, or should I rebuild a cash fund in the stock market? And I'm not talking about operating expenses and a safety cushion. That all I'm just doing cash because that works best for me.
So this is retirement that you want to know about? This is your future?
Yeah, long term.
So I assume, because you own your own small business, that you also have opened up a self-employed 401k plan.
You know, I have not, because the IRAs that I have are all left over from back when I used to work for the man. And I had been just building a normal stock portfolio that didn't have anything to do with retirement accounts.
Yeah, but you really are missing out a really great opportunity. And I say this as somebody who has owned my own business for 20-odd years. You're missing out on the very best opportunity that you have as a small business owner, and that is because the IRS allows you in a self-employed, self-directed 401k plan to put away in excess of like $48,000 a year, which then gets subtracted off of your income, so it's tax-deductible, tax-deferred, so you pay a lot less in taxes today, and if you already have bought the property and you're living in your house and it doesn't really matter what your income shows at the moment on your tax form, it's a wonderful way for you to pack away a ton of money over the long run.
Right, and you see, you raised the point, and one reason why I was not doing that before was because, you know, I don't have a tremendously high revenue. What I have is a very, very low operating cost.
Uh-huh.
So going forward, I don't expect to ever need to use my credit ever again. So I won't be terribly worried about what my annual revenue shows. And what you're saying is that if I invest money through this 401, this self-directed 401k program, it'll come out pre-tax?
Yeah, it comes out pre-tax. And so let's say you earn $50,000, or let's say you earn $100,000 a year.
Okay.
So if you take it all as income and you don't put anything away in your 401k, it's $100,000 of income. And then on an after-tax basis, you could put $5,000 away in a Roth IRA. That's one way of saving. But if you open up, let's say you don't need the $100,000 a year to live on. Let's say you only need $50,000. So you could just take and contribute to a 401k. I think this year it might be $48,000.
Yeah, that would cover me.
And then your income would fall to like $50,000 or $52,000. And so now you're paying tax on $52,000 a year, not $100,000. And the $48,000 goes into this 401k plan where you can invest it in anything you want. You could do, you know, index funds, no-cost index funds. You could buy individual
right.
stocks with it. You could do all kinds of things with it.
And I can run that just through my normal broker, is that correct?
You can, or you can open up with Fidelity or Charles Schwab or TIAA Craft or Vanguard or any of the other places that are out there.
Right.
So
okay.
There's no reason why you wouldn't do that, especially if it doesn't matter to you whether you're IRS tax form shows you earned $50,000 last year or $100,000.
Right, which you wouldn't once I make this purchase.
Once you make this move, other than maybe buying a car if you needed a car loan.
Nah.
But even then, it's not going to be the same issue. So now you're plowing all of that money away. And as long as you've got the rainy day fund covered and you've got your operating expenses covered and you've got enough cash to pay for the ongoing maintenance, upkeep, property taxes, and mortgage of the house, you're done.
Sounds good. Send me a check. I just say it to everybody. Sometimes it works.
Does it?
No.
I'm going to start doing that. Send me one.
All right. Well, I've got some more pain and humiliation to endure before I close on this house. But
listen, you shop around and you go back to your original lender and say, really, we've gone a long way down this road. Are you sure you don't want to rethink those closing costs? Because lender A, B, and C are all offering this price, and you're offering this price over here. And I'm not sure, other than the fact that you and I are talking now voice to voice, that there's any benefit to that. And then you be quiet. You go silent, completely go silent, and just wait for them to respond. And if they want your business, Carl, they're going to come back, and they're going to say to you, Carl, you're right. $1,000, we can't go $1,000, but we'll give you $500 off. Will you do the deal? And you can then say to them, yep, $500 is great, and then you've now earned, you know, that $250 an hour, because that's what you've saved, and you're all the way down the pipeline. Or you can say, you know what? These guys over here are $1,000. This one over here is $1,500. I really can't go with your offer. You're either going to match it at $1,000 or I'm walking. And then you're going to know exactly how much work they're willing to do. Just make sure before you do that, that you understand exactly what you're getting, the interest rate and all the rest, so that you're not making a mistake by walking away. And again, as I keep saying about the Intentional Investor series that I created, knowledge is power. Knowing what you know gives you the power to walk away or not. I'm Elise Glink. It's 18 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. Be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, even Memorial Day weekend here at News Talk WSB. So glad that you could join us today. We've got a prize pack to give away. It includes a pair of tickets to hear the sounds of Simon and Garfunkel performed by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra June 5th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, and a pair of tickets to see Star Trek Into Darkness, courtesy of the Regal Entertainment Group. Value $100. We're going to give it to the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. That is the caller prize pack line, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal. She's taking your call today. Remember that you can only win once every 30 days. And they check this sort of stuff. So good luck, and hope you enjoy the show. 25 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Bill joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Elise.
What's going on in your world?
My question to you is, what liens survive a courthouse step foreclosure? If I buy a foreclosure, or any of the previous liens on that property survive?
Well, there could be hidden liens that could survive. One of those is a tax lien. So you could end up with, I don't believe, income tax liens, but you could wind up with property tax liens that would survive. What a foreclosure is supposed to do is wipe the slate clean. It's supposed to, the lender is supposed to come in and resolve all of the liens that are attached to the property, and then when they turn it and sell it to you, it's supposed to be clear. But that doesn't always happen, and it's been happening less and less. You know, the number of foreclosures goes up. The amount of time that people can devote to each one seems to be less and less, and sometimes there's stuff that's just hidden. So you could get a tax lien that would survive it. One of the are you worried about that with a particular property, or is this sort of a general question?
Just in general.
So one thing that you could do is hire a title company to do a really thorough title search.
Okay.
To see if that, on a particular property, to see if that helps. Or hire a real estate attorney who can perform virtually the same function before you actually take title to a foreclosure and make sure that that's the case. You can also have that attorney insist that the lender resolve all of this in the transfer process as they're transferring the property to your control. And that
Got
can be
it.
Part of those instructions. But, you know, it's supposed to just happen naturally. And the problem is, it doesn't always happen naturally. It doesn't these days. I mean, I think things get overlooked. I think people have run into incredible problems. We've gotten some emails that we've run in our syndicated column, and you could see those at thinklink.com. If you look at unresolved liens or some of the foreclosure questions, people have asked this very question. You know, how do we protect ourselves? And really, the answer is you have to do some deep dive research or hire somebody who really understands to get at that research. This is one of those things where I kind of say you probably shouldn't try it yourself. If you're very concerned and it looks like there's some clouding in the title for some reason, hire a professional to get in there and dig in, because you don't want an unresolved tax lien for $20,000. It kind of destroys the economics of what you're trying to do. Congratulations to Blake of Buford for winning today's prize pack. Hope you enjoy it. It is 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glenn. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Glenn live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
This Memorial Day weekend. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. Our phone number is 404-872-0750. We've got lines that are open, some lines that are taken, but happy to take your call today. 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you've been wanting to call the show and don't have the patience to sit and wait and wait and wait because we have lines that are usually very busy, it's a good day to do that. So 404-872-0750. You can also follow me online with Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Don't forget to sign up for our free weekly newsletter and click on the red house if you are interested in investing in real estate and want to learn all about that. Intentional investor, how to be wildly successful in real estate. Go to thinklink.com. Click on the red house, sign up today. 404-872-0750. We've been talking about vacation homes, low interest rates, payoff, all kinds of really good real estate topics, and happy to take your questions as well. Robert joins us on the line now. Hey, Robert, welcome to the Elise Glenk Show.
Yes, my name is Robert, and I'm calling about a modification. I've been trying to get a modification for approximately a year and better now with one of the major mortgage companies. But it seems like we get kind of giving us the runaround. We submit in paper. They're telling us the paper is not submitted on time. So when the paper is submitted, they send us request to have additional paper to apply for additional programs. The most recently one that we received was HAMP, and that's something we're not familiar with. Basically, we just want to get a modification because currently the mortgage rate is about 7.5%.
How long have you owned your home?
Almost 20 years.
How come you never refinanced, or did you refinance? When's the last time you refinanced your property?
Probably 6 years ago, I believe. We have a 10% interest, 10.5%, and so when we refinanced, they were able to give us a 7%. When we did the modification, to give us 7%, you know, so...
Where did you get it? You had a 10.5% mortgage. I have to say, Robert, you're the first caller in years to say that you had a 10.5% loan. That is a really high rate.
Right,
and mortgage
right.
interest rates have been below 6% since 1993.
Right. So what's
the story there?
There's some issue with my credit, you know, and that's why the rate was so high, you know. But we're trying to get a modification. We had one about 5 or 6 years ago. We submitted our paper, and most recently we got a letter from them stating that they needed to get additional paperwork to apply for what's called a HAMP.
Home Affordable Modification Program. Have you been to the makinghomeaffordable.com website?
No, we haven't, no.
Well, that is the ground zero.
Okay.
Ground zero for the Home Modification Mortgage Program.
Uh-huh.
makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Right.
And on that website, what it does is walk through the different programs. So the first question I have for you is, can you afford your mortgage?
Yes, we can afford the mortgage. We're currently behind about 2 months, you know.
Why are you behind if you can afford the mortgage?
Well, there were some personal issues, financial issues that we had, and we... Yeah, you know, overcame those, and now we, you know, back on the rebound.
Uh-huh.
And so we, you know, my income is sufficient to, you know, afford the mortgage.
Okay. So one of the problems that you're facing is that you've been behind, and when you've been behind, it's very hard to get a modification.
Okay.
So I can understand them wanting to give you other other kinds of paperwork. What are they asking for that you're not giving them?
Well, basically, you know, what we asking for tax papers, you know, we submitted W-2 forms, you know, the current tax paper, paycheck subs, things of that nature, indebtedness, and but we submitted all those papers. And
then they lost some of them, or they said they didn't have them?
Well, apparently what they said, what the information they gave us, say that the paper were not submitted in a timely manner, you know. You know, it's like, you know, we need this every week, seem like doing an additional paper. And when we finally, you know, got all the paper in, then we got a letter from them saying the paperwork were not approved because the paperwork was not submitted in a timely manner. So this way we were with that, and then we resubmit our papers, and most recently, you know, we got the letter stating that we should apply for the HAMP program, you know, and I just want to make
okay,
sure
so the HAMP program's a real program, but you sound, Robert, like you need more help, because if they're telling you you're not supplying what they need in a timely manner, I can only imagine how many weeks it took you to get all of your paperwork together. Have you called the Homeowners Hope Hotline?
No, I haven't. That's why I pretty much trying to call you guys and see if you guys can give additional information. What are the route we can take?
Yes. You need more help. You need more help than I can give you, but I can give you this little piece of help. Do you have a piece of paper and a pencil?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Take down this phone number. 888. Toll-free number.
888-995.
4673.
4673.
These are the at the end of this phone call, at the end of this call that you make, this phone number, 888-995-4673, is a HUD-approved housing counselor who will help you understand what you need to do, prepare the application, and help you work with your mortgage company. This should
okay.
be a free service.
Okay, okay.
And they will help you get this, because I can just tell from listening to you that you need some help in this direction.
Okay.
So all that paperwork that you got together for your lender, I'm glad you did that, because you're going to need it all again.
Okay.
But they're going to have to help you get there with your lender, because I think you need somebody to either help you translate what the lender's really asking for, or
okay.
putting it together in a way that the lender can understand. Call them up tomorrow.
Okay.
And in the meantime, do you have access to the internet from your house?
I do. Yes, I do.
Then go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. Which
okay.
is an official program from the Department of Treasury and Housing and Urban Development, also known as HUD, and
okay.
read about the HAMP program, H-A-M-P, read about
right.
that program and all of the different pieces that go into that program so that you understand what it is you're asking for.
Right, okay.
And then that's how you're going to help yourself.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very kindly. I appreciate you for taking my call. And as always, you guys provide excellent information. Thanks again.
You're welcome, Robert. Good luck. And let us know what happens. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You know, folks, Robert brings up a really important point. You can't get anywhere in life if you don't know where you're going. And I talk about this. I've talked about this for months and months. There are people who are stuck, and they get stuck because they're afraid mostly of where they have to go. And so the stuck becomes inertia, and then the fear sets in. Because when you've been stuck for a really long time, now you're afraid to make a move because you're afraid it might be in the wrong direction. And what I want to tell you is that any time you are stuck, and you are stuck to the point of inertia, and you are afraid of making a move, any step you make in any direction, whether it's forward, sideways, or backwards, is a step forward, because you're actually moving again. And if you don't move, you're never going to get anywhere that you want to be. Robert was told to look at the HAMP program. He was told that he didn't turn in his paperwork in a timely manner. I can only imagine how many months and months and months has gone by. The man had a 10.5% loan finally got it down to 7.5%. You have to be aware of what's going on in the world. Mortgage interest rates have been in the 6% or below range since 1993. I mean, there was a brief 2 months where it bounced up, but really, since 1993, for 20 years, we have seen mortgage interest rates at 6% or less. And this man has a 7.5% loan because he, I don't think, has understood that you have to work on your credit. You have to move forward. You have to figure out a way to constantly pay less and get more. And to quote Clark Howard, because he's probably gotten ripped off from time to time. Which is what happens when you don't pay attention and you don't understand what your options are and you don't do the research. Earlier, Carl called the show. He did 2 hours of research and was able to save $1,000 or more, $500 an hour savings. It's better than almost any kind of thing that you can do except maybe being a basketball star. You have to do work. You have to educate yourself. This isn't complicated. This is not rocket science and it's not brain surgery. What we talk about on the show every week is how you have to take responsibility. You have to own the knowledge that you need. I talk about investing in real estate and taking advantage of my webinar. If I had a seminar, a class, and you came there, you would think that you were giving yourself the benefit of education and you would do it. The same is true for these webinars. The same is true for the free information we have up on thinklink.com. You have to be willing to educate yourself. And if you're not, you're going to get stuck, and then you're going to get paralyzed. And it's the worst thing possible. Let's go back to the phones. Flo joins us on the line from Buford. Hi, Flo.
Hello, Blake.
What's going on?
Yes, my situation is I did a modification on my home back in 2009, at the end of the year, and it took about 2 years to actually finish it. And it was doing last year, but it didn't change the interest rate. It only dropped the price about $23,000. So I was trying to do a refi with the same bank, and they said that there wouldn't be a problem, and everything was going smooth until basically a couple of weeks ago, where they said that on the underwriting department, they found that there was a lien against my title.
A lien against title of the property? And
yes,
what was the lien?
It was about $23,000, and it is those $23,000.
Sounds like the amount that you think that they dropped the balance of the property,
yes,
of the loan.
It's $23,000. I have the paperwork and everything. And I called the bank again, and I told them, hey, before I did this, you told me that there wouldn't be a problem, and now they're saying that it seems like I'm going to have to pay those $23,000 off before I can actually do the refi. Is this usual? Because I wasn't aware of this. Is this stopping people from obviously being able to do a refi after they did a modification?
Well, you did a modification, and what did the modification give you? It basically lowered the amount that you owed. But what did the paperwork sign? You know, one of my five rules for rebuilding America is you have to read all the paperwork before you signed it. What did your paperwork say?
It said that, you know, it was dropping those $23,000, and it didn't say anything about not being able to refi. So that's why.
But did it say that it would go as a lien against your property, and if you sold the property for more than the amount on the loan balance, you'd have to pay it back before you got it? Was it being treated as a second mortgage?
Not quite, but it did say that at the end of the term of the loan, I would have to pay off those $23,000, or if I sold the house, I would obviously have to pay back those $23,000.
So what you don't understand, Flo, is that what they did was they turned it into basically a second mortgage. And when you refinance, you're paying off your first loan.
Exactly. That's
and
right.
So when you pay it off, you also have to pay off everything else.
That's what I figured, and that's what I told the guy in the, you know, in the bank before I even tried to do the refi, and he told me, you know, it's okay. I mean,
it's not okay, and you really didn't ask the right questions, and now you're going to be stuck with this loan, this modification, until you know, you get to a place where you're actually able to truly pay it off, and the $23,000 as well. Go back and take a look at your paperwork, and you'll see what it really says. 50 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
I hear
56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Thank you so much for joining me today, Memorial Day weekend. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. So everybody, of course, called like right when we have no more time left, because, of course, we are at just about the end of the show. But I want to invite you to do two things. I want to invite you to join me on thinklink.com, where we have like 10,000 pages of free information, all about mortgages, all about modification programs. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of questions that people have asked over the years about loan modifications, and we have put all the answers up there for you to read. It's our very best, and I write this with my husband, Sam, who's a real estate attorney. We write it every week, all these answers to people's questions, just like yours, and we put it up at thinklink.com. So there is so much free and great information on that website. You should go and sign up for the newsletter, learn about all the content that we put out, like at the Equifax Finance blog, where we have a huge amount of content every week that helps you get through all of these different areas of your life, tax and insurance, real estate, all the rest. So go to thinklink.com, take a look, and if you've got questions that didn't get answered today, well, call earlier next week for sure. But you can send me a question at questions@thinklink.com, and I will do my best to get to your question and answer it sometime this week. Now, for all of you who are interested in investing in real estate, our Intentional Investor webinar series is available at thinklink.com. Click on the red house on any page of the website. Follow it through, sign up, and learn about what you need to do to make every investment the best investment. Be intentional about it. Do the investigating that you need to do so that you understand what mistakes to avoid and how to profit wildly, as we like to say, in real estate. All right, I've got to go. I'm going to go and enjoy the rest of my holiday weekend. I hope you do the same. Thank you to those of you who have given your lives in service to the families of those. And to those of you who are in our armed forces today, we deeply appreciate you. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time. Talk to you next week.